Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at robertsrobinson.com.
It was a really good night to be a Kansas Cityan, and it was a really great night to be a Kansas City Chiefs football fan. As the NFL draft began with round one at Union Station in Kansas City, 125,000 football fans pack the place and stand on their feet for hours and hours and hours and wait for the Chiefs to pick very late, the 31st pick, the last pick of the first round. And then, as if they had not dunked on the entire NFL enough by flaunting the Super Bowl trophies, by having Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes on stage, by having our local celebrities begin the draft with Roger Goodell, by having all the things that happened at the NFL draft, Kansas City decided to go ahead and dunk the final dunk with the owner of the team walking out with this year's Super Bowl trophy, lining up all three Super Bowl championships the Chiefs have, and then announcing they're drafting a player from Kansas City to play for Kansas City. You can't script this any better for the Chiefs, for this community. And the way that it all went down, it was simply spectacular, and I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. I kept thinking to myself, because it doesn't, to me, it didn't look all that fun to stand on my feet for 6 hours, and maybe they, and I don't know how many stayed for the Fall Out Boy concert. I went to bed. When the draft was over, I was out. I'm going to bed. I can't imagine how many people stood on their feet for 10 hours down there yesterday watching a draft that, to be honest, at times moves kind of slow, and it's teams, and for the most part, it's 125,000 people that didn't know the player being selected and didn't really care what team they were going to. And they were waiting for the Chiefs to pick at 31, and the Chiefs did not disappoint. You don't have to be a Kansas State fan to appreciate Felix Anyedike Uzomah, who I call Florida Atlantic because his initials are FAU. You can call him Felix. You can call him FAU. You can call him Florida Atlantic. He's going to get a lot of sacks for the Kansas City Chiefs. This guy is one of the youngest players in the draft and has been sensational and unblockable at the college level. The fact of the matter is, and what they didn't talk about last night, if you've watched any of the Kansas State fans, you know that there was not a single offensive lineman in America that could handle Felix Anyedike Uzomah. It's just not possible. They were double and sometimes triple teaming him. They will double team him at the line of scrimmage and leave a running back in the backfield to try to chip him. If he got through that on passing situations, it'll be a thrill in the NFL to just watch him be matched up against one player. That should be terrific. There is a learning curve here for this guy. He is extremely young, but he is incredibly talented. He is your Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. He was, for a very short period of time, the all-time single games NCAA football sack leader, but they stripped it from him. This is a story they didn't tell last night, and this is maybe the best Felix Anyedike Uzomah story that is out there about his career at Kansas State. In 2021, playing against TCU, Kansas State won the game 31-12 over the Horned Frogs. Felix Anyedike Uzomah had 4 sacks in this game. After the game was over, they credited him with 6. And this is what happened. He had 6 sacks. He had 4 legitimate sacks. The other 2 were strip sacks of the quarterback where the quarterback fumbled. And because Kansas State recovered and not TCU, the sacks were taken away about a week later. Again, Felix Anyedike Uzomah, after the game, 6 sacks, NCAA record. Nobody's ever had 6 sacks in a game. It wasn't some non-con game. It was against TCU, for crying out loud. Okay? Max Duggan, TCU. And so I don't know that Duggan played that day. I'll have to look that up because he was may not have been the starting quarterback that day, but it doesn't matter. He's playing against TCU and had 6 sacks. And several days later, the NCAA comes back and says, well, 2 of those sacks were fumbles, and since Kansas State recovered those fumbles, not TCU, he doesn't get credit for the sack. Now, obviously, in the NFL, that's 6 sacks. But college had a little-known rule that if you hit the quarterback, force the fumble, sack him, and you recover the ball, you don't get the sack. Otherwise, this guy had 6 in one game. So what you have here is, in my opinion, the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, the all-time single-game sack leader in the history of college football, and more importantly, the Chiefs took the best possible solution for their team. A lot of people had Felix rated at maybe number 35 or so, going to one of the top 4 or 5 picks today. Mel Kiper, I think he had it 30 on the board, and the Chiefs took him at 31. This was not an overreach, okay? There were times this past year where Felix was thought to be somewhere between 15 and 25 in the draft. But when it was all said and done, actually two other edge rushers in the Big 12 were taken ahead of Felix and Udike Uzomah, and I'm not sure that's going to work out for those teams. We'll see how it plays. I think statistically, knowing that this player is going to play on a team with a lot of leads, he's going to get some sacks late in games that players on lesser teams won't get. We'll see how it plays out, but I'm guessing he's going to be a sackmeister in the NFL. He will replace Frank Clark on the roster. The Chiefs will go to work right away. Andy Reid saying this was an easy decision. Joe Cullen, the defensive line coach, and Steve Spagnuolo love this player. They loved him from day one. I think the Chiefs might have taken Will McDonald from Iowa State instead, had he been there. But Will McDonald, as we talked about on the podcast this week, went at number 15. So he was not available. And the Chiefs went with Felix and Udike Uzomah. That's no stretch. I mean, we're talking about the same player here, splitting hairs, and there's a chance that Felix is actually better. Because statistically speaking, that's probably the case. What I love about what happened here with what the Chiefs did was, and the proof is in the pudding. Brett Veach said after the selection was made, he told the media, quote, "Let's not get cute here." That's what he said to the staff. "Let's not get cute here. There's a guy that we love at a position we need. Let's go get him." And they did. The Chiefs apparently tried to make a trade up to number 25 with the Cowboys at one point and draft Mazie Smith, the defensive tackle, the interior defensive lineman. But the Cowboys, I guess when you're making a trade, you have to tell somebody, "Hey, who's here? Here's who we're taking." Or, you know, there's no deal if you don't. And they said, "Nope, if you're taking Mazie, we like him. We're not trading this spot for him." And the Cowboys indeed took Mazie Smith. So that deal could not be consummated between the Chiefs and the Cowboys, and the Chiefs couldn't work something out ahead of the Cowboys. This works out well. I think it's a better call to get the edge rusher here. There may be something in the works here because Carlos Dunlap is still out there. Frank Clark was on the team. They're still signable by the Chiefs. The price of those players for the Chiefs just went down because of the draft choice they made. They may still want to bring one of those guys back. These things are all possible after the draft. So, look, this is a philosophical thing that I used to get make fun of all the time. And I've always been out there. I always have these thoughts in sports or life, politics, whatever, that we aren't doing it the best possible way. I don't believe as human beings we ever stand still and say, we have this figured out. One of the very early ones for me was when Dale Earnhardt crashed and died in NASCAR. And I said, why do they have concrete walls? This sport has all the money in the world. They just lost their biggest star because he smashed into a concrete wall. Why don't they have something in their cars to keep their necks from snapping? And why don't they have padded walls? And people in racing laughed at me and said, padded walls? I said, yes, there's something they can do with the walls to cushion the blow instead of head on into concrete. Of course they've done that. Deaths in racing are way down. There are easy things to see. I got blasted by baseball fans for suggesting they put nets up at the major league level after a 6-year-old girl from St. Joseph, Missouri was left brain damaged by getting hit by a line drive foul ball at Kauffman Stadium. I said, that's enough. That's enough. And I would take my mom to the game and say, she has no protection here. My mom cannot defend herself against a foul ball. It is not possible. At that time, she was in her 70s. There's no way she can protect herself. So it's up to me, which means what? I can't go to the bathroom? I got to stand here with a glove and try to protect my mom at the game? It was absurd. And baseball fans hated me for suggesting this. But look where we are. Nobody notices now. They've figured it out and fans are safe. There's always a better way, and it's not just fan safety. I railed on Carl Peterson during his tenure as the Chiefs general manager because he was steadfast and stuck in the ways. And I was the only person in the Kansas City media. I just got destroyed on this. People made fun of me, said, you don't know anything about football. I'm like, you're right. There are things that I'm slow to change that I hear them say they've done forever. Like I was the guy saying Patrick Mahomes can't do this stuff in the NFL because I'd been taught by all the people that run football that you can't throw across the field. You can't throw left-handed. You can't get wild off your feet. You have to have good footwork. You can't do in the NFL what Patrick Mahomes did in college. And I was wrong. But on most things, I'm pretty out there. And I'm willing to say there's a better way. And I've been saying for 30 years now, since the early 90s when I was on television doing television stories before radio. 30 years I've been saying there is no reason ever to draft the best player available. None. It's a generic way of doing it. NFL teams forever used to rank all the players. They'd just have a big board, and whoever was the highest rated player left, they'd go take him. That's absurd. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And people are still stuck in that mode. And I'm going to give you some examples here in a moment of teams that are stuck in that mold. They are stuck in that. When Andy Reid got to Kansas City, that ended. That ended right away. He had a relentless pursuit of quarterbacks. They made a deal. He went and got Alex Smith. They continued to draft quarterbacks, sign quarterbacks. They went and got traded up and got Patrick Mahomes. And Andy Reid said, I've been coaching long enough to know that if I don't get my quarterback, what I do with the rest of the roster does not matter. It doesn't matter. Then when you have your quarterback, does it become easier to do what they did last night? Sure, it does. But the Chiefs have done this all along. What the Chiefs did was, and they probably had 5, maybe 10 players on the board. The Chiefs might have had their number 12 player still sitting there. But it's a position that they didn't want or need. And that's the beauty of the Kansas City Chiefs. You only draft what you really need. This is a short-term business. There is no long-term plan anymore. The only thing that you can do long-term in the NFL is your quarterback. That's the only long-term plan you have. If you have a great one, you have a long-term plan. You're lucky to get 15 years. It falls apart at the end. Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. At some point, it'll fall apart with Patrick Mahomes here, and he'll spend 2 years somewhere else. That will probably happen. So get ready for it, but it's 10 years away. You have a long-term plan if you have a quarterback. Everything else is short-term. You plug in free agents, you get draft choices, you try to build them up. Felix Anudike Ozama may be a terrific player for the Chiefs, but they may also decide in 5 years that he's not worth the money that he could command on the free agent market, and he may go elsewhere. We see this. Orlando Brown Jr. was a big-time, giant offensive tackle draft pick the Chiefs have waved goodbye. He's not worth what he wants to get paid. So this happens. So the Chiefs did the right thing, and this is why they're lifting trophies. They did the right thing that some teams still won't do. They took the best player available at the biggest need. And you may say, well, they need wide receiver more than rush end. That's possible. I mean, that's possible. But you have Patrick Mahomes, and it's proven that you can just get guys off the street and make them good wide receivers because of Patrick freaking Mahomes. You haven't proven that you can just pull guys off the street and make them good edge rushers. And you're going to need it. It is a critical part of football. I used to do interviews with Gary Pinkel on a weekly basis, the Missouri coach, years and years ago. And I said, when you go out in recruiting, what is it you're looking for? He says, well, we talk about depth. We got to get all these players. We love doing that. He said, really, every single year, I'm looking for a quarterback and a pass rusher. And if I always have that on my roster, I'm always going to have a competitive football team. I will always win and always go to a bowl game. Last year, Kansas State had, once Will Howard started playing, they had a top-notch, almost national-class caliber quarterback. I mean, Will Howard was phenomenal, okay, once he started playing, and a world-class pass rusher. They had it. What'd they do? They won the Big 12. The Chiefs have a world-class quarterback, world-class defensive lineman in Chris Jones that isn't your prototypical pass rusher, but they move him around. They found it better to not have him on the edge, and now they've drafted exactly what they need, Felix Anudike Ozama. This is a great story. The Chiefs' fate was sealed when 4 straight wide receivers were taken in the first round. There were plenty of offensive linemen sitting there. I was scared to death. I thought, oh, my God, are the Chiefs going to take off? I don't know why I get scared on draft night. The Chiefs know what the flip they're doing. They absolutely know what they're doing. They did not take the best player available. They took the single best player available at what they really need. And they need that pass rusher more than a wide receiver. And there's plenty of wide receivers that will, trust me, the Chiefs are going to go get a wide receiver. If not Friday night, they've got 4 picks in the next 3 rounds. If they don't get one Friday night, they're going to get receiver here. And that receiver will, I have no doubt, will wind up having a better career than 3 or 4 receivers taken ahead of him in the draft because he's coming to Kansas City and playing with Mahomes. And I think the Chiefs understand that. We can take not the top guy, and there wasn't a clear cut, hey, this is the stud best receiver, Although if Quentin Johnson from TCU had been there, they would have taken him. He was off the board. But the quad run of four straight wide receivers really sealed the fate, and I was still scared they were going to take an offensive lineman. They'll get an offensive lineman. Again, four picks in the next three rounds. You can bet just about your bottom dollar there will be a receiver and an offensive lineman there. And that's how you do this. The Chiefs are on this, man. The Chiefs are just flat on this. Felix Anyuzike Udama said, Ozama said after he was picked, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and check my phone and make sure that I'm still a Kansas City Chief, because he just can't believe it. This was a terrific pick. I'm not telling anything to Kansas State fans that Missouri fans didn't know when the Chiefs drafted Nick Bolton. And again, that was a huge need for the Chiefs. And when Bolton was on the clock and the Chiefs needed that linebacker, a tackle machine, what they needed was a tackle machine. They went with the Mizzou guy. And the instant reaction from people is, oh, they're just picking a local guy. That's not how this works. The Chiefs don't do that. The first thing my wife said was, ah, this is such for show. They just took the local kid because it's a great story. And that is not what the Chiefs do. That is not what the Chiefs do. I got a great player here, a great young man. And they made a point to let everybody know this is one of the very youngest players in the draft. This is a kid. This kid's a baby. He came out early, and he's really young. Even for being a junior in college, he's young. So just a tremendous night for the Kansas City Chiefs. They absolutely did the right thing. Now, examples of what went wrong here? Well, this is just unbelievable. Will Levis hasn't been taken, the quarterback out of Kentucky. Mock drafts had him at number four going to the Colts. The Colts were playing fudge with everyone. And they went with Richardson, the quarterback out of Florida. Most freakish athlete quarterback ever, who just hasn't played very much. And they think they'll coach him up, and he'll be great. And if he is, there's another great quarterback in the AFC, which is just loaded with quarterbacks. It was uncomfortable watching Will Levis. It was on a day where somehow Lamar Jackson became the highest paid player by year in the history of the NFL. The Ravens just sealing their fate that they'll never win a Super Bowl, because I don't think much of Lamar Jackson. They caved and did that. But anyway, Will Levis, the only high-ranked white quarterback, was sitting here in Kansas City all night long, and it got more and more uncomfortable. And I'll just ask this, because all the black quarterbacks got taken and the white one didn't. Is the NFL racist now against white quarterbacks? Because what I'm hearing about Will Levis is spoiled, kind of pompous, little arrogant. You looked at his family. You saw those, what, were they his sisters, the hot blondes running around? They looked like a spoiled little rich family, didn't they? That thought they had theirs coming, and Will Levis is going to get taken. He's going in the second round, and he may wind up being a great player. But what is the bias against Will Levis? He's not as mobile, right? He can move a little, but he's not as mobile, certainly as these other guys that got taken. And we kind of don't like his white boy attitude. I mean, I'm just being honest. And the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL are all black. Can we just drop the racism in the NFL? Now, can we just say goodbye to that? If it ever really existed, it didn't exist at the NFL level. It may have existed in high school or college, which fed players to the NFL, that it never existed in the NFL. The NFL doesn't care. The NFL is conservative America. It's all about merit. If you can do the job, we want you on our team, period. We don't care. Male, female, black, white, Christian, Jew, Muslim, gay, straight, nobody cares. If you can play, we will draft you, and we will put you out there. And what they're saying right now is we don't like the way Will Levis looks. We think he's cocky. He had been working with the Mannings for quite some time. I think they pumped him full of sunshine, and they didn't like sort of an arrogant streak with this guy. But it does beg the question, is there racism now against white quarterbacks? I think it's dumb. You know I'm bringing this up tongue-in-cheek because I don't really care about this issue. And I certainly don't see Patrick Mahomes as a black quarterback any more than I see him as a white quarterback. I just see him as the best quarterback. I couldn't care less. But as we're watching the draft unfold, we see these things happening. And it is fascinating to watch how these teams draft now. Look, I'm going to give you a point of two teams that did it right last night, drafting players in the first round that you're not supposed to draft or that I'm not big on drafting. One was a team that took a running back, which is kind of taboo these days. The other took an offensive lineman, which I just don't like in the first round. But in this case, I love it. Brad Holmes is the general manager of the Lions, and John Dorsey's their senior advisor there, the former Chiefs GM. And boy, they were caught on tape really celebrating. They moved down from 6 to 12, took the trade, added picks, and knew something for sure. That the player they wanted, even at number 6, that fits what they're trying to do. And what they're trying to do in Detroit is score, score, score. Remember how Detroit got better last year? Remember how much better they got? We don't love their quarterback, Goff, but you remember how much better they got? They're all about doing what the Chiefs did. Let's go offense, offense, offense. Let's get skill player, skill player, skill player. Well, they're sitting at 6. They're like, this is way too high to take the player we want. Nobody else, maybe, even in the entire first round, will take this guy. So they dance the dance, and they move down 6, and they add picks, and they go to 12, and they draft Alabama running back Jahmyr Gibbs, who they loved. And boy, did Brad Holmes, the GM, go crazy. He was pounding the table and excited. They had pulled off exactly what they set to pull off. They got the player they wanted. Unfortunately for them, like a lot of teams, the Chiefs would have loved to have been higher in the draft. The Lions could have been back in the draft with this pick. They had a later pick, their own pick, I think 18 or wherever. They had that one as well. But this is the one where they had, you know, an extra pick up high. And they're like, this is too high to draft this kid. Nobody's going to take him. Let's trade out of this thing. And they did, and they got their guy. And that's how you draft a running back in the first round. The way you draft an offensive lineman, I present to you the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville Jaguars were at 24. They made a trade. They made a trade to go to 25. Wow. Well, we'll take this guy. We know who you want. We'll take him. Swap with us. Great. They added a pick by moving down one spot. They weren't done. Then they moved from 25 to 28. They moved from 25 to 28, and they add another pick. They got 3 picks by trading twice, going from 24 to 28, and then they add the offensive lineman from Oklahoma. They got their guy. And if that guy had been there when the Chiefs were on the clock, the Chiefs might have taken him. He's a fine player. They were going to go offensive lineman. They assessed who was behind him and what they were going to take and knew that that wasn't going to happen. That's how you do it. Now, am I putting Super Bowl trophies on the mantle for the Lions or the Jaguars? No. I'm simply saying that's how you do it. Now I'm going to read for you some names of teams that sucked. Absolutely sucked the life out of this thing. The Arizona Cardinals passed on a quarterback, one of the elite quarterbacks, because they believe in Kyler Murray. They believe in Kyler Murray because they drafted him and they're paying him, which is the wrong reason to believe in Kyler Murray. Does this sound familiar? They passed on a quarterback at what? Did they have the 3rd pick in the draft and traded down? They passed on him and then went with an offensive lineman in the top 10. That's going to fix Kyler Murray. This is the guy that runs around like a video game. Yeah, that extra 1/10 of a second from your left tackle is really going to help Kyler Murray. Three teams that you watched last year. You watched Arizona try to score points. Then these three came up, all in the top 14 of the picks. The Bears, the Titans, and the Steelers. You watched those offenses last year. At what point did you watch the Cardinals, the Bears, the Titans, or Pittsburgh last year and go, damn, if they just had a tackle, they'd just be racking up points and beating everybody? And that's what these teams all picked. And you wonder why the bad teams stay down. It's just astounding to me. I don't even understand it. Four offensive linemen taken in the top 14 by 4 crappy offenses that can't score points, and somehow they think their offense is going to be fixed by a lineman. I am just astounded that these teams overdraft like that. But I love watching it. I love what the Chiefs did, and it's going to be fun to watch the rest of the way. KKHI is brought to you by TicketsForLess.com. If you want to see Kelce jam, it is Friday night at Azura Amphitheater. This is going to be fun. Travis Kelce, his brother, bands, all kinds of crazy stuff going on. If you're looking for tickets for this, TicketsForLess.com. Promo code is KKHI. That's KKHI. Promo code online, TicketsForLess.com. The price you see is the price you pay. No fees or taxes added in. It's all right there. That's the price. TicketsForLess.com. Use the promo code KKHI for a 5 to 15% discount, or just call them at 913-685-3322. Buck Roofing and Construction is doing free roof inspections this spring. Call Ron and his team will be right out to your house to check it out. No obligation, no pressure, no nothing. The majority of these, he comes out and inspects the roof and says, you're good, man. Everything went well this winter. You're looking good. Sometimes he says, there's a couple of shingles up there we need to replace. It's going to be $139. And that's something you want to spend on your house to get it fixed. Buck Roofing, 913-384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Inside your house, you want to remodel with Cross Kitchens, crosskitchenskc.com. Family owned and operated in Belton. No job too big or too small. He's doing a massive job at my buddy T-Bone's house. Entire man cave being redone. I think Tony's house is about 20 years old, maybe a little older. Redoing all of it in the man cave. Big project, and they are slaying it. Not too far from where I live at crosskitchenskc.com. And Dr. Jeremy Fry and his team at Fry Orthodontics have a great promotion they're running for Mother's Day, which is just around the corner. They're directing people to the blog, okay? Go to fryorthodontics.com/blog. They're doing a Mother's Day giveaway. You nominate a mother that you believe is deserving of free Invisalign treatment. That's it. It's absolutely free. One mom is getting free Invisalign treatment from Fry Orthodontics this Mother's Day. All nominees will be reviewed by a board and selected at the end of the month. Okay? Start spreading the word. Here we go. There's the link. fryorthodontics.com/blog. fryorthodontics.com/blog. Somebody's going to win free Invisalign for their mom, the mom of their children, their sister who's a mom, somebody. It's all right there to be had. fryorthodontics.com/blog. They're giving away free Invisalign for one lucky mom this Mother's Day. That is cool stuff from Fry Orthodontics. Ooh, yeah. Okay, how about this one? We'll move on to, we're going to sprinkle in some sportsy stuff. Big news in Kansas yesterday. Kansas passed by supermajority, which I talk about a lot here, of Republicans in the Kansas House and Senate. They passed the strongest transgender law in America. And it really isn't a transgender law. Although it prevents transgenders from doing certain things, it is a protection of biological males and biological females. And they passed it. Laura Kelly vetoed it. They came back, they supermajoritied its ass and said, sorry, Laura, you're not really very powerful here. We've got you on both flanks in the House and Senate, and this is happening in Kansas. Sorry for your bad luck. Okay, what this does is, in Kansas, Kansas becomes the first state to define what a boy and a girl are and what a man and a woman are. Seems simple, doesn't it? Essentially, they argued the point on the floor that this is for safety. And there are two main reasons for safety. One, we do not want biological males in women's locker rooms, bathrooms, at schools, prisons, domestic crisis centers, facilities, churches, wherever you may congregate. We do not want that. We want to protect women to go in the women's room with biological women. That's totally legit. The second one has to do with your identification. If you get pulled over speeding, if you're on drugs, if you're drunk, if you're a wanted criminal, whatever you are, we're not going to allow a male, okay, that is a wanted criminal or maybe a sex predator or something worse than that, to change their identity and name on their driver's license because they put lipstick and a wig on to where we can now no longer find them or arrest them or bring them in. Because they're looking down the road going, boy, this is an easy way out for a lot of people that have done a lot of nefarious things. If you can just change your name and get it on your driver's license and we're going to change your sex, whatever you've done in the past is gone. I get it. This makes sense to me. So your driver's license in Kansas will be, period, end of statement, regardless of what you do, even if you have surgery, as an adult, it will reflect what you were when you were born. It will be your birth name, which is in every computer, and your social security number, and everything else that you're assigned at birth. That is a legitimate way to run safety and security and law and order in your state. It is absolutely spot on. Congratulations to the great Republicans in the state of Kansas. We have now legally defined what a male or female is. It's what you were assigned biologically at birth. Riley Gaines tweeted this out. Sage Steele from ESPN retweeted it. Millions of people have seen it. And they went as far as to thank Marvin Robinson from Kansas City, Kansas. Marvin Robinson is a KCK Democrat who was just elected in the last election. He's a Navy veteran. And Marvin Robinson is a black man. And he's a Democrat. And he voted with the Republicans on this. You know why? Because Marvin Robinson was in the Navy. He's a veteran. And he gets it. He knows. He's a great American. and he was not afraid to buck his party. Democrats in Kansas want him out. They want to shun him. They will do everything they can to run against him in the next election and get him out, which is amazing. This is the hill they want to die on as Democrats. I'm certain Marvin's going to vote with them on all the other stuff, but not on this one. I'm going to guess this Navy veteran has daughters, or at least is concerned about daughters. Here's the incredible part. Riley Gaines on Twitter gave out Marvin Robinson's phone number and said, call him and thank him for being a reasonable Democrat. I'm good with that. Here's the phone number. Are you good with it? Grab a pen and pencil. I'm going to give you the number now, and you don't have to hit pause. I will give it to you again in about 2 minutes. So you got plenty of time to walk around and find a pencil and a piece of paper if you want to call Marvin Robinson. He's borderline a hero here. This thing passed on the margin. They say they couldn't have done it without Marvin, but I'm not sure that's true. They have the Republican votes. There may have been a Republican that went against it, I guess, if they knew Marvin was going to vote for it. I think that's possible that that occurred, but it doesn't matter. They can now say this was bipartisan because a Democrat voted for it, and Marvin is right here in Kansas City, Kansas, and he deserves your phone call. If you're proud of him for being a Democrat that doesn't follow the crazy woke flock and understands that women deserve to be in the bathroom with other women and in the locker room at school with other girls, that they deserve that right, that protection, then call Marvin Robinson. Here's his number. 785-296-8763. That's it. Marvin Robinson, 785-296-8763. Give the man a call, because I'm guessing he's getting a whole bunch of calls from people on the left that are pissed off. What we need to show these people that there is strength in numbers, that the overwhelming majority of Kansans support what he did, including, I'm going to guarantee you right now, including a ton of black voters in his district, especially black men, but black voters that said, way to go, Marvin. That's ridiculous what they're trying to do. It is ridiculous. You would think that women would be more overwhelmingly in favor of this thing, but it's men that actually are just dyed in the wool on this thing, saying it is just flat wrong for my daughter or my wife to be in a bathroom with biological males. It is men that are stronger on this than women. Pretty cool stuff. Marvin Robinson, 785-296-8763. Give that man a call. Oh, hell's just freezing over everywhere. When the truth comes out, you know, this is what Tucker Carlson's been saying. They can't keep the truth from people forever. We're going to find ways to get the truth out. Brittany Griner, the basketball player, was one of the worst left-wing woke people ever. She's gay. She's black. Boy, I live in a really racist, homophobic country. I don't like the anthem much. It's just all this stuff. Brittany Griner had no use for America. She'd been taught year after year after year of her life that because of the color of her skin and her sexual preference, that the whole country hated her and America's a rotten place. Then she went and played basketball overseas and was taken off to a Russian prison where they really don't think much of black people, especially gay black people. And she learned what that's like, and she was in prison, and I don't wish this on anyone. She came back. She was signed by the Phoenix Mercury. She's going to keep playing basketball. She's toward the end of her career. And I saw a video of her standing proudly for the national anthem with her hand on her heart. God, that felt good to see that. I hope everyone sees that. She gave her first interviews at a news conference this week. She has not spoken about this stuff yet. And she said, quote, I am never going overseas to play again unless it's to represent my country. Wait, what? Can we send all these leftists to a Russian prison for just like 30 days? Can we send these woke crazoids? Can we send Colin Kaepernick over there just for 30 days and see how he gets treated and then see what he thinks about living in America to see if there really is racism or we need social justice? This is all just insanity. When real things happen, when people actually live the experience, they change everything. Brittany Griner loves her some America now. She might go all full-blown MAGA. Who knows? I'm never going to play overseas again unless it's to represent my country. God, I love that. This is from a woman who formerly said that America was a racist country and a homophobic country. And now she wants to represent it. I love it. I love it. On the same sort of note, Jack Cashill, longtime journalist in the Kansas City area, writes for a website called WN, as in Nancy, WND.com. And I strongly encourage you to go read this. This is the best thing you will read this week. It's 20 times better than my patrons post. It's really good. Jack Cashill, WND.com. Whiskey Nancy David. I blew those, I'm sure. But that's what it is, .com. The headline of the story is, in KC, a real racist killer faces trial. Now, this is obviously teasing the Andrew Lester thing with shooting Ralph Yarrell, because we've been losing our minds over this thing. And Jack Cashill writes about Frederick Scott, who set out to, quote, kill all white people, end quote. And he got off to a good start in August 2016 when he started stalking white men walking their dogs in Kansas City, terrorized our city after he killed six before he was caught. It's a serial killer, black man, aiming to kill all white people, and he was mostly targeting white men. 170 murders a year committed in Kansas City. This has all happened since the Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, social injustice, things have happened in America, and defunding police and emptying out our jails. Jack Cashill writes that Brandon Howell is a black man from Kansas City that set out to kill white people, and he was successful. He killed five of them. He beat two of them to death. They were old people like Andrew Lester. He targeted old people because they're easy to kill. And this happened. These are facts. And in the case of Frederick Scott, yes, he's still facing trial. He's been rotting in prison for 7 years with one delay after another. For what reason, I don't know. But these are racist killings. That's 11. It's 11 dead victims at the hands of two black men that set out to kill white people. These stories do not get reported. Jack Cashill has written the best thing you will read this week. WND.com is where to go. WN as in Nancy, D as in David. WND.com. Jack Cashill is his name. I'm going to get him on the podcast. He's been around forever. He used to do some radio spots. I think he wrote for the paper. And yeah, as any conservative, he gets shunned off to the side. But the man is absolutely brilliant. And this is a brilliant piece of work that you should go read. KKHI is proud to be affiliated with Bstock.net in Olathe, where they have Dell Latitudes, business-grade laptops from Dell, not the cheap plastic stuff you see at Best Buy. These are the good ones, half price, $699. It's the Dell Latitude 5310 with the i7 processor, 32 gigs of memory, 13-inch display, new factory seal, Dell warranty, all 50% off, $699. Bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. Today is the day. The new one is out. The new Flint knife is out with finchknifeco.com. Check it out at finchknifeco.com or visit Shields in Overland Park, The Bullet Hole in Mission, or Teague Tractor in Belton. They all stock Finch knives, and the new series is out. They are so happy to present to you the Flint. It's a 7.2-inch knife, 3-inch blade, satin finish, titanium clip. You're going to love this knife. FinchKnifeCo.com. It's the Flint series of pocket knives. And Amini's Galleria sale continues this weekend. Everything outdoor right now at Amini's Galleria is on sale, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Ask for Mr. Amini by name. You may see him right there on the showroom floor. They're also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. Don't forget, boys, because we are boys when you buy things like pinball machines or the shuffleboard table that I have, golden tee, pool tables, you are a boy. When you buy that, you're being a boy buying stuff for your man cave is what you're being. But, man, there is no place better than Amini's. They've got it all. Check it out online at Amini's.com. 60 months, no interest. Or visit them at 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. And, of course, our outstanding friends at Window World, simply the best for less. If you need new windows on your house, you've seen some water coming in, get the free analysis and estimate right now by calling 816-799-0820. They'll come right out to your home. The official windows of your Kansas City Chiefs. windowworld.com. Love those guys. Okay, Donald Trump is campaigning in New Hampshire, and he's got a new thing that he does that drives the crowd crazy, and they love it. I don't know if you've seen it. This is going to grow. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and he's going to get better at it. He just ad-libbed it and busted it out in New Hampshire yesterday. He now does an impression of Joe Biden being lost. I can't think of a better thing for Trump to do. Honest to God. It's terrific. He's like, where do I go? And then he hangs his head down like and slumps over like he's a frail old man. And he looks around and he goes, well, how do I get out of here? It's fantastic. Now, I don't like his name. He's changing his name to Crooked Joe Biden. He already used that with Hillary. Needed to come up with something else, but whatever. The impressions of Biden will stick. They will go viral. That's what you're looking for. You want it to go viral all over social media because the traditional media won't show it, won't play it, won't cover him. They won't until they have to at the end. They'll just bash him about lawsuits. They won't do any substance of things that he's saying. They won't let him take, they won't show him taking shots at Joe, but this stuff's going to go viral. The clips will be all over social media. He's going to get better at this impression. It's funny. Trump's a funny guy. I mean, we all know that. He should stick with this all the way to the end. No questions asked. All the way to the end, Trump should stick with doing impressions of Joe Biden. The crowd just goes wild. But he does an impression of frail Joe. Little Joe? Wasn't Little Joe a thing? What was Little Joe? Wasn't there a Little Joe one time? I don't know. Crooked Joe, whatever. I just love doing the impression. Trump's on to something there. It is expected within the next 2 weeks that Ron DeSantis will announce that he's running for president of the United States. I don't know that I like it. I don't think he's going to get there. I don't think he's going to win it. I think it might do more harm than good. Honest to God, I think he should sit out. But I think what he knows is, and he's right, I think what DeSantis knows is if something happens with Trump and he does actually go to jail or gets in some real trouble or something like that and can't run, I'm right there and I will beat Joe Biden. I have no doubt Ron DeSantis would beat Joe Biden. I don't think that's close. I've got doubts that Trump will beat him, but I don't have any doubts that Biden will, or that DeSantis will beat Biden. No doubts. Final coming right up. It is brought to you by Smoke and Fire, 119th and Metcalf. Go visit Jim and Joan Cotty, my friends for years. As National Barbecue Month begins May 1st, celebrate at Smoke and Fire, the barbecue and fire place. And so many of you are going to MyPillow.com and using my promo code. I appreciate that. It's a little known thing, but you see these different promo codes. Like if you're watching TV and you see a MyPillow ad, they always switch the promo codes around. They would rather you not use a promo code because the promo code is how we get compensated. If you use my promo code, we get a cut. It's not a big cut, but it's a piece. And so we're happy to have that. If you don't use the promo code, we get nothing. They don't buy advertising, traditional advertising. They do it as a we're partners. If the promo code is used, I get credit for, like I'm a sales rep or something. And many, many, many of you are using the promo code, and I can't thank you enough for doing that because there's other promo codes out there. They're harder to remember because they're moving targets. Like all their TV ads, they change the promo code all the time because they're trying to figure out which time slot works and things like that. And who buys instantly? Well, this is different. We're a podcast. You could be listening at 1 a.m. right now and think, boy, I'm not sleeping well because of my stupid pillow. And then you go online and you buy from MyPillow, and in a couple of days it's there. And if you use the promo code KKHI, we really appreciate that. They have a new mattress topper out, the 2.0. And these things are only $219. I can't even believe it. $365 is the regular price. MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper. If you're having trouble sleeping and you really don't want to shell out $3,000 for a new mattress, try the topper first. It's only $219 right now with the promo code KKHI at MyPillow.com. They also have great products by American businesses, conservative businesses, at MyStore.com. Next time you go to pop on Amazon to buy something, go to MyStore.com and check it out and see what they have there. Same thing, if you use the promo code KKHI at MyStore.com, we get credit for it, and we greatly appreciate that. MyPillow.com/KKHI. Your final is a funny funny. This is a good one. You all know John King from CNN, right? Used to be on Fox News and covered politics. He would cover political campaigns more than anything else. John King has been the host of Inside Politics, and he's not very good. Never was very good. Not really a TV guy. I'm sure he's a fine journalist. That's how he got his job. They put writers on TV a lot of times, and they're not very good. CNN is notorious for this, and they're not very good. So John King's been hosting Inside Politics. He has been canned from that job. They're sending him back out on the road for the election. He didn't get fired, but his cushy little sit in a nice warm seat job is gone, and he's going to be traveling his butt off the next year and a half covering campaigns, which means for now anyway, he's going to be covering Trump and DeSantis, which has got to drive him crazy. So John King at his age is getting sent out on the road to wear his tucker his butt out. That's not the funny part. That's actually kind of the sad part. That's the sad part of the funny part of the story is the new host of Inside Politics. John King is being replaced by his ex-wife. Wait, you cannot make this up. You're kidding me. John King is out on Inside Politics on CNN, and he's being replaced by his ex-wife, Dana Bash. You've heard of Dana Bash. She's not very good either. I can think of a lot of bad things to happen in a man's career. I can think of a lot of bad things. I can't think of anything really worse than the exact job you do being replaced by your ex-wife. That's got to be tough. Oh boy, that's got to be a tough one for John King. Tough break. Enjoy the draft this weekend. If you want to join as a patron, we're going to be doing, we'll do a bonus podcast over the weekend on the Chiefs draft. That'll be for patrons only. If you want more Chiefs draft this weekend, sign up to become a patron. That will be patrons only that we will do this weekend. And we'll also have the newsletter out on Saturday. So we're looking forward to that. Go to kkasissues.com. It's $5 a month. We do, this will be the fourth, I think, be the fourth premium podcast that we've done this week when we do a draft recap over the weekend. And the newsletter. There's some real value there over the course of a month, $5. You're going to get about 20 different things. I think it's pretty cool. I'd love to have you on board as a patron. KKHasIssues.com. Much easier to sign up on your tablet, computer, laptop, whatever, and not your phone. You can do it on your phone, but it's just a little trickier. Much easier. Sign up on your computer. It takes about 3 minutes. You are good to go. You get the entire archive of all the podcasts and every newsletter going forward at kkhasissues.com.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.